What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, yeah, you talked about accreditation, you know, we do that, your registration. I mean, there's just, you name it, there's fees on top of fees. And then we're trying to also be an employer, you know, we're employing 100 different people within our community. We have health insurance fees for them to pay as well as benefits. And so it becomes very challenging when you have such a very small margin to be able to be competitive in the market for people to want to work here.
Mm-hmm. How much would what is in this whole bill, how much would it have a direct impact on your ability to stay afloat?
So I'm going to say it's the first step. We need this transparency. We need some minimal requirements for PBMs. So it is the first step in helping, but we need it on a greater level, also with the federal level, and we need some consistency across states. So we do need it to happen at both the state level. So this with Senator Falkowski's bill is the state level, and then we need it at the federal level so CMS and Medicare can also make sure for the Medicare Part D patients that we are serving that we're getting, again, paid appropriately.
Is there anything else in the bill that stands out to you that you want to describe?
To me, the big things about the bill is it allows prescription processing to be dispensed to patients in the model that I believe should exist, which is, one, a patient gets to choose where they want to go, just like they want to choose a healthcare provider, a doctor, an advanced practice nurse practitioner that feels right to them, that they mesh and takes care of them. It would allow them to have access to that type of healthcare provider, as the pharmacy and the pharmacist that they want. I believe it continues to allow us to be able to operate at the top of our scope of practice, to continue to serve our patients in the way that really motivates us. I talk about we get up in the morning because we want to truly help serve our patient. And if we get paid fairly for the product that we're dispensing, we can do those additional services that we're asking for. We talked earlier about that, you know, for patients with asthma, we did a study with the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin and showed that when they sat down with a pharmacist on 2 30-minute interventions, that they reduced the number of ER visits, the number of hospitalizations. These things are making a difference in overall reducing healthcare dollars spent. And this is the stuff that really motivates pharmacists to want to continue to practice. And it only increases access for patients so they can continue to be compliant with their medications. And to me, you know, when we also just look at the mail order model, there is potential for harm in that model. Because if you're getting all of your chronic medications through a mail order service, what happens when you need an antibiotic today, or you go to the emergency room and you get prescribed some type of medication? Now you go to a local pharmacy who doesn't have your entire profile, and a lot of patients don't know all of the medications that they take. And so how does someone do a proper review of that total drug regimen to make sure there are no interactions, duplications of therapy, or potential for adverse effects? So this was something that was discussed 20 years ago when I was in pharmacy school, about patients not having multiple pharmacies, but having one pharmacy be able to be part of their healthcare team.
And maybe, you know, that's something people don't quite understand until they have a lot of medications. Mm-hmm. They have a parent who maybe has memory issues and, mm-hmm. you know, doesn't remember all the medications they're on.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a very true statement. We get asked all the time, just because of accessibility, people will walk in, you know, I have a question regarding this, or I have a question regarding my blood sugar monitor. Can you help me learn how to use this? And we are accessible. Pharmacists are and pharmacies are one of the most accessible healthcare. You can't walk into your doctor's office and say, help me with this inhaler, I'm not sure I'm using it properly, but you can walk into your pharmacy and we're going to help you.
you know, thinking about Cole walking in and being told, now this is what your medication costs, and having to see that patient walk away. What is it like to be a pharmacist and see patients going through something like that, where they can't get their medication, where they're confused, they're scared? What is that like for you as the provider?
Yeah, that's what we went to pharmacy school for. That's why we wanted to help. Because we want patients to optimize how they use their meds, be able to have access to their medications so they can be healthy and well. That is our ultimate goal, is to and when we have policy and regulations that are in the middle that don't allow us to do that job at the ability that we are able to do it, is heart-wrenching. I mean, we've had patients crying in our office, in our pharmacy. We've just because they either can't afford their medication, and we tell them, I'm not even getting reimbursed of the cost of this medication, so it's not me making all the money. And or that we had another patient that because the reimbursement was so low, they went to two different pharmacies and then finally came to us to be able to get a glucose monitor for their daughter. And they were denied service by two other pharmacies because when they sent the claim through for this new patient, they were losing money on it. And so being able to provide that service to patients and to be part of making sure that they are taken care of is really what we want to ultimately do.
And it's hard to do that if you get to the point where you have to close doors.
Yeah. It's exhausting. You know, it's very difficult. We have been in business for over 70 years, and we look at our financials every month, and it's scary. And we think about how long can we last, you know? How long do we have it in us that we can continue to do what we do what we love, continue to serve our community, continue to employ other members of this community working locally, you know, paying taxes within our community versus sending it out of state or out of the country. We know that we also provide a safer alternative for patients, you know, with the regulations of, or the lack of regulation for patients purchasing outside of the country, unsafe. Who knows what type of medication they're getting or what they are getting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone told me about being on an alternative funder, and their only option was to get a medication not from the U.S.
Yeah.
And it was a Crohn's medication that needed to be refrigerated, and
sure.
So they just couldn't trust that
yeah.
It was going to get here properly.
Yeah, it's scary. You have medications that are extremely costly, being, you know, patients coming, having to get them from out of state, and then the potential storage issues, especially in states like Wisconsin, where we have extreme colds and extreme heat, and knowing that this medication needs to be in a small window to stay, you know, appropriately viable for the patient is very concerning. I guess my final statement is, you know, some people say that the system is so broken that's why they're not sure that PBM reform is the way to go, is because it's only a small drop in the ocean. And my answer to that, though, is this is the hand we're dealt, and this is what we have to deal with, and we have to continue to make progress, and this is the first step that we need to continue to make the progress that we need and give us a chance to continue to get our voice out there of what needs to happen so we can go back to the model that we had 10, 15 years ago where we were serving our patients and being a part of their healthcare team.
So PBMs are just so powerful that they have the ability to be predatory in many different ways, like mm-hmm. audits, for example.
Mm-hmm.
The bill made it sound like you do one thing to challenge a PBM and they will come in with an audit that feels retaliatory.
Sure, yeah. Audits, unfortunately, can go back, I believe, 7 years. And mm-hmm. so, I mean, how do you how do you try to recoup something that happened 7 years ago from your patient? Your patient may not even be in the area or even alive anymore in the area. I've had specific pharmacies say that they believe that they were specifically targeted because they tried to stand up to the PBM and they had that. I feel fortunate that we haven't. I don't believe that we've had that type of reaction for us personally, but it's not unusual to hear that from other pharmacies in our state and across the nation, that they're hearing that type of thing.
So the PBM itself is performing the audit?
Yes, and they will defend themselves that they have to do this because it was part of CMS's requirements to potentially look for potential waste in the system. And so they wanted to make sure that there was no fraud, waste, or abuse. However, in doing this, I believe sometimes these become predatory and they look for reasons. Give you example, a miscalculation of a day's supply, they can take away the whole claim. A wrong indicator, which they're not supposed to be able to take back money on claims if for clerical errors. However, we've lost money on claims because we didn't say whether it was an actual hard copy prescription or whether it came through electronically. To me, that seems like a small error and shouldn't allow money to be taken away. But there are PBMs who will take money away from those. And they specifically target high dollar drugs. They're not looking at the inexpensive furosemides or the common things like that. They're looking at very costly medications, and even if you were off by a day or two on your day supply calculation, you're going to lose the whole dispense, not just off by the day or two.
So it kind of forces you to be on your back heel all the time around PBMs.
You definitely have to have your ducks in a row, and you have to make sure that you abide by every regulation, every rule that is made. And sometimes you have to adjust, because sometimes some of the things that have changed is with insulin products and how you calculate those days' supply, sliding scale insulin, so patients adjusting based on what their blood sugar is, have been very common for years and years and years. And so, but not having proper documentation on those that give a maximum day supply or maximum amount that could be used for the day, if that's not on there, it easily that drug companies can, or PBMs can take away that claim. So it's constant adapting, because there's always loopholes that are being found to be able to continue to find ways to take money back from pharmacies.
What about the gag order, or like the gag clause on pharmacists? Like, you can't tell patients about a cheaper place to get a medication?
I'm not well versed in that, so sorry.
No, that's okay.
Yep.
Those are all my questions.
Okay. Do you think I did okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
You find something in there?
Yep.